Coming up on Patriots This Week, feasting on the AFC East. The Patriots turn a primetime showdown with the Jets into a YouTube sensation.
I think that really set the momentum for the game.
Two games, 108 points. Not only are the Patriots scoring, but they are also doing it better than they ever have.
You want to be a better team in the end of the year than you are in the start of the year.
Now it's on to Miami, where a new coach and a rookie quarterback have taken the hard knocks to become playoff contenders.
This isn't a give me win.
This is a big game for us.
We have to pack IE game.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
A chance to extend the winning streak to six games. A chance to win the division and lock it up this Sunday. I think back in the day, we used to call them hat and t-shirt games. I think they still do that within that locker room. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak. And joining me each and every week during the football season, as usual, former Patriots, former linebacker Matt Chatham. Matt, good to see you.
Good to be here.
And, of course, the wild and wiggy one, Jermaine Wiggins, former tight end. Mm-hmm. Since 2000, Belichick is head coach here. Overall record in the month of December, 43-7. That's pretty darn good. Why is he different than the other coaches?
They're very much a game plan oriented team, and I think that's important to note because they put a lot of stock in figuring you out. And I think there's just a volume of more information when you get to November and December. This team is really good at not just figuring out their opponents, but figuring themselves out. And I think that beyond what the records are in December, regardless of how the season goes, they're always a better team in December than they are in September. So I think there's something to be said that this team is sort of built on an arc. They always have sort of a vision towards what they want to be. It may not be the coverage you like in September. It may not be the blitz package you like in October. Mm-hmm. But they're moving towards something. There's a plan. So it's never been.
But somebody implements that plan because this is 365 days a year.
It takes time.
It's not 16 weeks. People think it's 16 games. These guys show up and they just go out and play. For the last three straight seasons, they've been undefeated in the last half of the year.
It's about keeping the team focused, keeping the team week to week. You know, that's the picture that they look at. It's never the big picture. It's what do we have in front of us? We worry about this week. We can't worry about what happened last week or the week before or 5 years before that. And I think when you look at this team, I think that's the one constant that you have there is obviously Bill Belichick. And he's able to get it to Tom Brady, who now Tom Brady is the kind of that leader in that locker room. And he gets those guys understand that's the way it is.
You see Sanchez run into the back of Brandon Moore, smack into it. That's going to be on NFL Follies. Is there anything now, you know, a couple days more removed, looking back? Matt, you like to go back and look at the All-22. Anything that stuck out from that Jets game defensively? Maybe it's Chung being back. Well, why did Steve Gregory take good angles that day instead of bad ones?
Yeah, I like that this is a second week in a row where you had, and it's a small sample, but it's 2 weeks in a row with basically the same personnel on defense. And I think that's important. I mean, of course, Chandler Jones is gone, and there's some other issues with that position that we'll figure out here in the next few weeks. But at least on the back end, we're starting to see people fall into roles. And that's kind of my point about the December thing. You try to figure out who guys are, what fits them best. I think Kyle Arrington's a good example, who had about 40 snaps, plays well at rerouting out in the slot. Maybe he's not your best island guy, and they figured that out in September, but he's found a role for himself. He does a nice job. I think Steve Gregory is doing a great job because he's the one guy that looks comfortable to go out in disguise. He goes down and shows. He looks like he moves in and out of coverages, and sometimes you need a veteran presence to sort of get guys going, to say, hey, it's not just who's going to make the play once the ball snapped. It's a lot of the pre-snap stuff. It's a lot of making one thing look like another because it's just as much an intellectual game as it is a physical one.
Since your middle name is Controversy, Jermaine, Steven Gostkowski. Now, I'm not going to get into the kickoffs. I think he's phenomenal. He has a strong leg. Starting to miss a couple here and there. Not even a couple. It's one here, then three games, he misses another. Any worries there for you regarding Gostkowski? Say you play Houston, it's a tight game.
Do I think he can get the job done? Yes. Am I worried that if, you know, it gets to crunch time in the postseason, can he get the job done? A little bit, because we really haven't seen him in that position yet where he needs to go out there and make that kick that counts, whether that's in the postseason or a game that's really close. So I think that's holding space in my head just a little bit, but because of what he's shown, it's going to be there.
Jermaine Cunningham suspended for 4 games, PEDs. There are things that are showing up as positives that maybe 6 years ago were negatives, and that players are getting fooled by that.
Yeah,
or are they not educated enough?
No,
Jermaine, start with you.
I don't think they're as educated as they need to be, and I think there are a lot of things that some of these guys don't even know about. So, you know, you may go out and it might be stuff that you're buying at GNC that you think is legit, and it could just be something, you know, a shake that you're taking after a workout, and you're thinking, all right, this is just kind of helping me recover. And there might be some traces of something in there. You get a test and boom, you get nailed. You get test positive. And it's instantly going to look bad because what are people going to think when you test positive? First thing they're going to think about is some form of steroid.
No, I understand the reason for the PED banning, and because it's more of a performance enhancement. I think that's where this started. But then we kind of got into the area where, you know, like the amphetamine thing, yeah, where it was more of a burst, and I think that was a player health situation. But because this is all thrown in the same basket, is Sudafed or is Adderall or any of these things, is asking a player that gets in car wrecks each week to not use a little something to focus more? I would think that you would almost want to encourage, provided it was healthy, but just have it league provided. I mean, you're not giving needles. Obviously, you're not giving that, but to expect guys to do the rigors of this particular game and not be able to have a recovery shake, I mean, that seems sort of insane to me. So, you know, if they could just pull in the reins and provide something that does those things in a healthy atmosphere, I don't see why everything beyond Cheerios, cheese, and meats needs to be banned. It doesn't make a ton of sense.
Tom Brady has thrown for over 3,200 yards. Touchdown to interception ratio, not too shabby, 24-3. Is rating somewhere hovering around like a 105. Is he an MVP candidate, Wiggy?
I mean,
because everybody says Manning. When are we going to start talking about Brady?
But I mean, when you look at Manning, you look at Brady. I mean, Brady consistently does it year in and year out. He does it with a team. You know, it's always about Brady's going to take this team as far as this team's going to go. You know, defensively, they're not good, but they have Brady. So to me,
you trade him for Luck, man, tomorrow.
You know, I would not. But but the point is that it's always about, you know, when you look at Brady and you look at this team, it's about how he carries his team. So clearly, MVP in his name should be every single year. It should be MVP Tom Brady. He should be in the conversation every single year.
Well, he hasn't had a year like this every year because the picks are so low, and I think that's really important. I wrote about this week where, you know, turnover differential comes from two different sides. You know, it's not just we got a lot of turnovers. It's also we didn't give up a lot of turnovers. So as much as that's really what drives this team, the differential on both sides, he plays sort of his half, and they play the other. You have guys with decent ball security as well and a guy that doesn't give it away and throws a lot of touchdowns. To me, that's really the perfect formula.
And when he won MVP a couple years ago, he only threw 4 interceptions.
Exactly.
Off of the Jets game, I think there's an end of an era in New York City, and we'll get into that next with Rants and Raves on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, Dumpster in a Bag, can take it on. Visit thebagster.com for more info.
Steve Gregory is this week's Putnam Player Spotlight. The 5'11", 200-pound safety may have enjoyed the best day of his 7-year career against the New York Jets. The Brooklyn-born Gregory intercepted Mark Sanchez to end one Jets drive. Then, when Sanchez fumbled in what will be remembered as an entry for America's Funniest Videos, Gregory scooped it up for a touchdown. This Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
One of the most annoying chants in the National Football League. Guys, what's synonymous with the New York Jets? A guy with a white fire hat sitting up in the stands. Fireman Ez said he can't take it anymore, Wiggy. It's an end of an era. Super fan. What do you do about the world's number one best mascot?
I don't know. I guess now what you have to do is you have to now go out there and put it on your website and say, hey, we are now looking for
somebody. He was on the website. Remember when they were going to AFC Championship
but not on
games?
Payroll.
He had his own app.
But when I played down there, which he was on the Jumbotron, they did the whole Tony Soprano leading up into
the
intro. And he was a guy, but if you're there and you saw what he did, it was pretty remarkable how he got the crowd to just quiet down. So I guess now there is a spot open. So, Zoe, hey, if you want to don
a No. Because I don't want to be on the Jets payroll, but I think that's the perception, Matt. People thought that he was on the Jets payroll, and almost that, and they were more upset that he wore a Sanchez shirt. And this wasn't coming from opposing fans. This is coming from his own fan base.
Well, yeah, and it seemed like some of the vitriol in the stands is what my understanding of the story is. Is kind of what pushed him out the door, allowed him to do something else. And I kind of get that. But you know what? One of the beauties of sort of being around this organization for a long time is you really get used to putting teams in your rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think this team, may have some chaotic situations, what is or isn't going on with their mascot. But what always was great around here was when they won, you didn't hear the word New York Jets after that game was over, because they know to look forward. So to me, they got a chaotic situation down there. They got to put it together. But what happens with their mascot or their cheerleaders or whatever else really doesn't matter.
Alex Smith got knocked out due to concussion. The 49ers with Alex Smith at the helm over the last 2 years, I think they're 19-5-1. He's completed 70% of his passes. He has over a 100 quarterback rating, yet Jim Harbaugh goes with Colin Kaepernick. Smart move this late in the season? I mean, it's not like it's week three.
I don't think that it's the right move, because I know that if I was a player and I was in that position, I wouldn't want to lose my job to injury. And I think, you know, Zoe, that's kind of been the unwritten rule in the NFL for as long as we can remember. You don't lose your job to injury.
But it's a gutsy move.
Yes.
And Matt, you remember when Belichick was at Cleveland, he had to make the decision between Testaverde and Kozar. He made a tough decision here. Not that it was a tough decision, but Bledsoe versus Brady. Some people were split on that. Tom was rather untested. This is a gutsy move for Harbaugh. And don't the guts of the coaches that make the gutsy calls, aren't those the guys that have the ability to get their teams over the edge?
If it works.
It's worked for two straight games. The kid's been darn good.
Against, so what if they
against,
get bounced? What if
against,
they get
Chicago?
Exactly, against New Orleans defense.
What if they get bounced in the postseason?
That's the point. So my concern would be, and I watched that game, and I was really impressed with the guy in the second half. Maybe midway through the second quarter, he looked pretty ugly and pretty frazzled in the first half, so it's undecided.
Yeah.
So I think they're going with potential over sort of a known that isn't a high bar known.
Yep.
I guess that would be sort of the gamble he's making. It certainly is a gamble, because you know I like your point though, that you don't lose your job to injury. So what's interesting now is Alex Smith was not out there because of a head injury. So it's interesting what might go through guys' head now. I just saw Alex Smith lose his job because he reported a head injury.
That's a great point.
Am I going to lose my job? Maybe I'll just keep this one to myself.
Exactly. And it's almost like you send an odd message to the league. And what about baseline testing from here on out? Didn't Peyton Manning once say, I would think about fudging my baseline test so that at some point, 10 games in, if I got knocked out, that I would test okay and they would still put me back in the game.
But this is the bigger issue that I have with it, Zoe, is that if Harbaugh likes this guy, why wasn't he the starter day one?
True enough. You
really felt like
he
could be the guy that could outplay Alex Smith and was the guy that would give you more offensively, why wasn't this guy starter day one?
All right, guys, it's been kind of snowing off and on, rain, sleet, snow mix. I think it's time to get on a plane, a little South Beach trip down there to Miami. Find out next on Patriots This Week what the Dolphins have in store for the Patriots. All right, let's go back to last week real quick. Thanksgiving Day game, Thanksgiving night game, actually. Sebastian Vollmer inactive. Surprised a lot of people. Marcus Cannon played well, but moving on to Miami. You look at the defense. Go to the tape right here. Cameron Wake. Who's going to be the right tackle? That's right, Marcus Cannon. Watch him here against the Cardinals. Gets upfield. And what's he do? No, he doesn't keep running past the quarterback. He has the ability, like Chandler Jones, like Rob Ninkovich, to get back downfield. Here's the Jets. Watch Sanchez. Extend right. Comes back downfield. There's the hit. There's the strip. Ball's out. Scares me because you got a quarterback in Brady that hasn't been hit that much. Again, look at the technique. They call that a nine technique where you're outside. Watch this one. Comes in. There's the hit. There's the strip. Ball out. What are you going to have here? Probably a scoop and score, but no, they cover it up. So if I'm the New England Patriots, if I'm Dante Scarnecchia, who I think could be this team's MVP this year, get those guys up front to block it up, square it up, find out where number 91 is on the field at all times. Since the year 2000, as I've stated earlier in the show, Bill Belichick's record as Patriots head coach, 43-7 in the month of December. I'm kind of surprised how they've responded to Philbin. And not that I think that Philbin's a bad coach, but you know, you watch him on Hard Knocks. Doesn't seem like you light a room up when he leaves. A little Forrest Gumpy.
Like here?
They got a rookie quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. It's the third rookie quarterback this team's faced this year. You had Russell Wilson. We saw Andrew Luck. I don't think this guy is as effective as those two are. Now, former receiver at one time, but they brought Sherman with him from college, so I think that's helped that transition. You watch a kid play. Does he do anything that stands out to you?
I don't think he does anything special. I think, like you said, I think one thing that really helps him is that they did bring Sherman with him, so it gives him a grasp of the offense. He's been in this offense, terminology. He knows where his hut route reads are. He knows a lot of different things. And I think another thing that they do well is they run the football, so they kind of take some of that pressure off of him, and they say, okay, we're going to try to to run the football. We're going to get the run established.
And Reggie Bush can do everything, a little bit of everything. I think it's
– he's still a kick returner playing running back, though. I mean, I think that's obvious. But what's interesting when you watch this team is, to me, when going back and watching the film, it was sort of like time warp. You go back and there's two backs in the backfield. There's a tight end that often protects. There's a lot of pro sets. There's a lot of slot, a lot of real basic stuff, and it's very methodical. You know, it's 3 yards here, and then the one Reggie Bush explosive 22-yard run. But they were preceded by a 2, a 3, and a 5, you know. Yep. It's just that kind of offense. And I think that helps the quarterback because the reads are a little simpler. It's actually 7-man protection, which we don't see on film very much, which means, you know, there's two backs in the backfield and the tight end stays in, the splits, one back checks. I mean, there's like a lot of old-school football, and I think that makes it easier. I think it makes it a different kind of game. I think it's a challenge for the Patriots because we really haven't seen this kind of approach. But the biggest thing to point out with Tannehill, beyond just the kind of offensive system, he's a little bit underrated as a runner. I think especially last week's Seattle game, scramble for 19, scramble for 15. It's not, you know, it's not Russell Wilson breaking the pocket on the outside, but he'll just take it and go right down the middle. I think with the way the league protects quarterbacks now, he gets away with it.
I think you look at Devon Best, too. It's a receiver that they've struggled with. You like Best as a receiver?
Well, I think, like you said,
he's going to be free agent.
Yeah, I think what you said, he's more of, when I look at him, I think of more of like that slot guy, kind of quick and really do a lot of different things. But
he's almost built like a Bolden, but a little short.
Yeah, because I think when he first started, he's more of like a returner. Yeah. So I think he has the ability to do well in space. But he's, you know, when you look at that Miami offense, you got to figure out where are their weapons coming from. I think he's one of them, and obviously you got to look at Reggie Bush.
And that's the issue they have. I mean, that's why they run that sort of methodical offense. There isn't really an explosive element. It's Reggie, but I think if you're an outside linebacker or defensive end, you need to be alert this week because this is the preeminent bounce-out cutback guy. He'll tuck it inside and take it around the edge. So watch for edge runs. If the integrity's there, it'll be a good thing for the team.
They're 21st, I think, against the pass, 7th against the run. But they have Cameron Wake on the outside if they could get that guy cranked up, especially in third and long.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a major concern when you have a guy that kind of has a track record like Cameron Wake. It's very similar to when Indianapolis came here. You got a guy like Dwight Freeney. When you have that edge rusher that can get to the quarterback, it's always going to be a concern. The one thing that, you know, I feel better about is the offensive line has played well, so they've been able to kind of nullify a lot of those pass rushes. But, you know, now you're playing down there. Like you said, you get a little bit of that crowd behind you, start getting the pass rush, you get the snap count a little bit, and before you know it, if it's one or two hits on Brady, you know, one of those hits could lead to a sack fumble.
Cameron Wake is a really long-armed kind of guy.
It's like Chandler Jones.
A little bit, yeah, exactly. But they've, you know, they face Freeney. They've faced the Seattle rushers. They've seen some guys. So I don't think this is going to be unfamiliar territory. He's a guy who's going to get a 12 or 15 sack number, but I don't think he's dissimilar to what they face. So I would look to, you know, some of the interior linemen. They're really disruptive. They're really tough against the run. I don't care what the run ranking is. You watch them. They're a very physical group. But once you get to third and fourth down, I really think these tackles will handle them okay.
All right, guys, good stuff. Coming up next, find out what happens on Sunday. Our predictions when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bose, the official sound of the Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Time now for this week's Fantasy Lowdown. I'm Brian Lowe. The matchup and team dynamics are set up well for Jacksonville running back Rashad Jennings. He'll be the Jags' top ball carrier against the Bills, who have allowed the most rushing touchdowns in the entire league. Start Jennings, but sit Bears QB Jay Cutler. They'll beat the Seahawks at home, but it will be a struggle for Cutler against a strong pass defense. And for a sleeper at wideout, try Brandon Stokley, who will be Peyton Manning's most targeted receiver against the Bucs on Sunday. That wraps up the Fantasy Lowdown, brought to you by Verizon, the official wireless and telecommunications provider for the Patriots.
Since the year 2007, the Patriots have lost at least one game within their own division. Matt Chatham, will this be the first time they lose this year?
No, not this week. The benchmark's been 30 points. The Patriots have been going, they've been blowing the top off that, hitting 40, hitting 50. I'm going to go 37-27 Patriots. A little bit of a close game, but definitely a victory for the Pats.
Wiggy, you know what? I'm going to go Patriots 31-17.
Shocker.
Well, hey, listen, Miami, they don't have you at quarterback, so if they had you, maybe my pick would be different.
Point spread would be higher.
Yeah, so I'm going to go – I'm going Patriots 31-17. I just don't think that Miami has enough offense.
I'm with you on that, too. I think getting down there, I think this game might be tough for the first quarter once they figure it out. It's not the same Dolphins team that they played in the past. I like the Patriots big in this one. 41. They eclipsed the 40-point mark again. 41-17. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.